Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ronaldo puts it on an absolute plate for Solskjaer and Newcastle. I am Emery. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, 3rd of November. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Yes, welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. Lovely old Wednesday. We're all here to express ourselves, aren't we, Luke?
Absolutely. Happy hump day, everyone.
Oh, God.
That's what all the cool kids say in the offices. Happy hump day. When they walk in, they're high-fiving, they're going, happy hump day.
I don't think anyone says cool kids anymore, do they?
Don't know.
Why do they hump?
Certainly not
Why?
In this room.
No.
Why are they? Why are people humping on Wednesdays?
Kate, you've got me and Andy. We're like Chiellini and the other one. What's his name? Combined age of 150.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like something Juventus fans would say, happy hump day. You know, because they're referred to as the gobby, the hunchbacks.
Oh, are they?
Because they're hideous and they're lucky.
Oh, good. Yeah. See, I'll say random stuff. Andy makes it interesting and entertaining and educational.
It's like a mainstream Luke and Pete.
Yeah. Trust me, you can't take that mainstream.
I don't want it to go in that direction,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, you like Manchester United's strike partnership, the two of you.
Yeah.
Aged. Yeah. Right, let's crack on with the show, shall we?
Leave Rashford alone.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Atalanta 2, Manchester United 2. Inevitable as it was...
It was comforting, wasn't it? Like, I don't know. Like, Manchester United are a bit like CSI Miami. You know exactly what's going to happen in exactly what order, but it's nice.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
They don't
that?
Put CSI Miami on BT Sport 1, do they? That's on like Dave.
I think it was 2, wasn't it?
But I'm saying it's not on a mainstream channel, CSI Miami. It's on like Yesterday or Alibi. You know, maybe Man United should be put on that because then people who. Want to see Cap that kind of thing, can watch it and the rest of us can get on with our lives.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's nice to have it in HD. It'd be nice to have CSI Miami in HD.
Do you think Cristiano would refuse to play if he wasn't in HD?
Yeah, he's like, if it was CSI Miami, he'd be like, look, I'm the ginger one, not you, Ollie.
I'm not playing on any competition that is broadcasted in standard definition. And that is in my contract.
My children call that TV without glasses.
Yeah, I can see why. Yeah. I can see why. It was an incredible... Yet again, do you know what they remind me of, Man United now? They remind me of the Rolling Stones doing Start Me Up.
Oh, yeah.
80s.
You want to see it, though. If you go to a Rolling Stones gig, you don't want them playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow or something.
Where's that come from?
So what we've established today is that you've not ever worked a job and you don't know who the Rolling Stones are.
No, can't come
on. There is Lord of the Rings reference yesterday and people loved it.
You said give the people what they want. There is nothing better than Kate grasping for a popular culture
reference. I'll tell you why. All right.
It's excellent.
Sit back, lads. I'll tell you why I reference that. And it's the right cultural era, I think. I went to a Van Morrison gig with my dad a few years ago. And obviously everyone just wants him to play Brown Eyed Girl, I want to say. And he fucking played hours of Somewhere Over the Rainbow just to like piss off his audience, as far as I can tell. That's his whole thing.
It's like his thing,
Yeah, he's a bit of a grinchy old man, isn't he?
But what I was going to say was...
I've explained my reference now. Fair enough. That's double shit.
Well, sometimes you won't help yourself. If Ferguson's and United are like XR Main Street, then Solskjaer's Man United are like Rolling Stones, 80s Rolling Stones, Start Me Up when yeah, it just became a little bit of a tribute, a little bit of a kind of a parody
emotional
of
rescue.
What they were about. Yeah, and I think that happens time and time again with Man United now. And the thing that gets people's back up, I think, is that Solskjaer seems to really enjoy it.
He doesn't take credit for it.
There's nothing wrong with this. What we're doing here, there's nothing wrong with this. It worked really well 30 years ago. So what's the problem?
Oh, it's Manchester United actually coming from behind. That's their whole thing.
That's their brand.
So you're saying he's got a really acute case of Stockholm syndrome, whereas what I would suggest is, despite this endless media campaign about what a nice bloke he is and how that alleges, you know, any possible tactical shortcomings and all the rest of it, I don't really think he is.
Tell us what you think of him.
He's going full Steve Bruce, I think. These post-match interviews, like yesterday, where he was going, well, you know, I made the changes and we got the result. It's like, we watched it. Are you joking? it's ridiculous.
He literally
flung everything at it.
Very few people just tune in for the post-match interview. Most of them have watched the game as well.
You say that. He might be onto something, because obviously, again, in the like Twitter age, it's perfectly possible that people would just see the highlights of his post-match.
But
highlights of the game. It's got goals in. It's got Ronaldo scoring goals. What more do you want? It's got David De Gea being nutmegged in his goal. What more do you want?
Yeah. And then you're gaslit by a man who's probably not good enough to be in his job. And wonderful.
You're gaslit by a man who won't even park in his own allocated
apparently he does now.
Oh, he's changed that.
Yeah. Once he became permanent,
he's made the change, and the result speaks for itself.
Now you've got Stockholm syndrome.
It's a shorter walk to the office.
It's always delightful to hear Andy Brassel be mildly rude about someone, isn't it, Luke? I always enjoy that.
He's more than mildly rude.
You're speaking about yourself in the third person.
After every game. Right. And apparently he's the nicest bloke in the world.
But what the listeners don't hear is us taking half an hour to egg Andy on to finally convince him to say something negative about someone.
Yeah. Or the little spiky things we put in his chair to like rile him up a bit.
Exactly.
He said in his post-match, on Cristiano Ronaldo, who does provide those moments, I'm sure the Chicago Bulls didn't mind having Michael Jordan. What's your take on that? Sigh.
But you could make an equivalent comparison between Cristiano and Michael Jordan, though, in terms of their profile and their individual ability and what they've done in the sport.
I suppose so. But like, if you're talking about like the back end of the Bulls dynasty, it was never like this. And they still won stuff. Yeah. This team is not going to end up winning anything.
I tell you what, here's my thinking around this. The idea, according to Malcolm Gladwell, who I'm sure you both have enjoyed, and I'm sure like most Football Ramble listeners would have enjoyed at some moment as well, is that football is supposed to be a weak link game and basketball is supposed to be a strong link game, i.e. the whole point of why you just have one dude who's incredible is... Partly, of course, on a basic level, there's far fewer players in a basketball team.
Yeah.
But also that you kind of move up to your strongest person.
Yeah.
With football, you're kind of as good as your weakest link.
Okay.
And that's
interesting.
That's the problem. You know, yes, in the situation of Cristiano Ronaldo, you can just buy a goal-scoring mascot and then he's going to deliver this. But the point is you're supposed to be boosting up your weaker
link. And it's interesting,
isn't it? Rather than just doing stuff for ego, is basically what I'm saying.
They're perceived... strongest link, or at least their most high-profile link, has been painted in recent weeks, certainly in a UK context, as their weakest link. You know, is carrying Ronaldo the thing that's holding back Manchester United. I suppose if Solskjaer's plan is to underline that that's not the case, you would set your team up in a way that enables Bruno Fernandes, despite that excellent assist for the first goal, such an ineffective game. One of his
His numbers have gone off a cliff since Ronaldo's been there.
Yeah, and Paul Pogba, absolutely terrible. Yeah. Harry Maguire, I mean, I think it was an interesting tactic, thinking, well, he might get into trouble if he faces Duvan Zapata, so let's keep him as far away from Duvan Zapata as humanly possible, and put Eric Bailly, who's hardly played any football, who's terrific, by the way, Manchester United's best player by a very long way.
Incredible block as well.
Yeah, a series of incredible blocks. Yeah. And it was funny, after with everyone obviously mooning over Ronaldo at the end, it might have been missed, but the first thing I saw after full time was Zapata and Bailly go up to each other and swap shirts as if to say, wow, that was a battle, wasn't
it? Great battle. Great battle. But the real battle's going on over there with Cristiano Ronaldo against everyone else. It's like a secondary battle. I would have liked it if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had really mixed up his American sport metaphors and just gone, well, you know, I'm sure the New England Patriots in the National Hockey League would have liked Michael Jordan.
You know what? You'll get that if Paulo Fonseca comes to the Premier League.
Because he'll just mix it up.
He does that when he's under pressure. It's very amusing.
On the actual coverage of Ronaldo and the coverage of United, and we saw more of it again last night after the game with Rio Ferdinand, Paul Scholes and Ennio Luca, I think, particularly with Rio Ferdinand, I feel like a large part of the coverage of Solskjaer misses the point. And the point is that Manchester United have had no problems coming second in the Premier League. Or getting close to winning a trophy.
Was the biggest job Jose Mourinho ever achieved. I wouldn't underplay it too much.
How can we forget that? How can we forget that? But he has. He's got to finals with United. He's got them to second in the Premier League. The idea is that they need to move on one beyond that. And Solskjaer himself has admitted that. They need to win trophies. Man United are a team that win trophies. And the argument and the question is, in a Premier League that you guys covered yesterday and talked about the amount of quality in the managerial roles in the Premier League now, and with the signing,
it's a coach's league.
Yeah, exactly. But also with the signing of Cristiano Ronaldo, does that take them closer or further away from winning a title in terms of the Premier League? Now, they're never going to have any problems beating teams that are nowhere near as good as them, or getting results against teams that are nowhere near as good as them.
Snatching a draw against the team with the 12th highest wage budget in Serie A.
Exactly. The point is, how much difference is going to be made in the big games? Not in the games when Spurs don't try a leg, because they're down tools because of their old manager, or playing against a team who aren't anywhere near as well funded as them in the Champions League group stage. It's about the bleeding edge. It's about the real key moments. And if Ronaldo can't make a contribution in those games against the Liverpool or against the Man City because they're so much more dynamic and so much more well-drilled and so much more energetic, then ultimately he's basically coming here just to bang goals in as a flat-track bully and pad his record. And that's fine for him. I've got no problem with that. I personally quite enjoy watching him.
But he has
play.
International football for that. Why does he need to?
Well, that has traditionally been the case, but Man United have very kindly agreed to supplement that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. I feel bad that we've got to this stage without talking about the top line, which is that Donny van de Beek came on.
He did feature. He did take some time
86,
off.
86, was it? 86 minutes?
He took some time
also
out.
Also Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, if there were football gods, as many insist, I mean, they were in particularly cruel mood. Did you see how long they were stood on the touchline, the two of them?
Yeah.
And there was definitely a point where one of, or if not both of them, would have thought, I'm not going to get on there. They're not going to give us the fucking ball back.
It makes me anxious to see that.
They're not going to knock the ball out.
It gives me serious anxiety to see that. Because you think, if you're going to bring a player on to make a difference and you're going to give him 10, 12 minutes, the ball doesn't go out of play. It's a massive difference between 12 minutes and like fucking 6 minutes. And I also would like to point out that Donny van de Beek took time out of his new job working on helping Michael Carrick on the drills to actually play. I feel sorry for him. I think he's a fantastic talent. And it's just been one of those moves where nothing goes right from the start. There's a lot of turbulence. He obviously is a type of player and needs to play his way in. He's not been given the time to do that. And now it's just gone to absolute shit. And I feel like he should hopefully get a move, although not to Barcelona, because that would be out of the frying pan into the fire.
And because coaches, they don't have any money.
Yeah.
Coaches do start younger and younger these days, don't they?
That's a really good point, Kate.
24?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I mean, you know.
He's only played in four games in all competitions this season, but Luke, he's changed agent to the same as Frankie de Jong.
That's what I was referencing, because apparently he's moved to the same agent as Frankie de Jong because he wants to get a move, and obviously people are making the connection.
You see, this is Ronald Koeman logic. You know, when Neymar was saying he wanted to play with Messi again, yeah. Well, I suppose there is the possibility of him coming back here. The whole reason we're talking about it is because you can't afford to keep Messi.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We said yesterday about Koeman going for his 12 million. Don't know updates about whether how that's going, how that negotiation is going. Whether the pot is still...
Well, let's face it, the phone call is not going to be longer than 40 seconds, is it, if Luis Suarez is anything to go by.
And on one level, it is kind of fair enough that Koeman wants what's owed to him. On another level, it is also very unsavoury.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, because I was totally backing this yesterday.
I know you were, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, is that why you're saying it?
No.
Look me in the eyes, mate. Yeah.
No, if Joan Laporta had been nicer to him in recent months,
£4 million worth of nice?
Well, you know, it's about goodwill, isn't it? And the way he's been treated in public has been very poor. Very, very poor indeed. So yeah. I think he's got every right to dig his heels in.
Interesting insight into Brussels' negotiating mind.
He knows he's not going to get it anyway. It's all notional because, well, how are they going to do it? Yeah. Congratulations, Ronald. You now own the car park at the Camp Nou.
That'd be all right. That's a great opening offer.
I think he's seen enough of the car park at the Camp Nou, to be fair.
Where's the League of the Soul Shocking apart?
Also last night, another English side, Chelsea, 1-0. They beat Malmo away. Hakim Ziyech with a goal in the 56th minute. Glenn Hoddle said he put it on an absolute plate.
Joint highest scoring Moroccan in the Champions League now.
Good.
Do you want to have a guess who he shares that with? I think it's about seven. Do you want to guess who he shares it with? Marouane Chamakh.
Chamakh, nice.
Oh, nice. That is... Thank you.
He didn't think he was going to get a mention on this show today, going into it.
Always a delight, though, to mention him.
And he keeps writing in as well, like that other lad. So, how did you find this one? Like, it was dull-ish?
It was dull, but we have to be careful on that front, I think, because we're looking at... We mentioned earlier with the idea that Man United and playing against a team like Atalanta and the difference in budget and the difference in wage bill and all the rest of it. And, of course, that was a massive point for Man United. You know, I mean, the context of the group.
Yeah.
So with Chelsea, it's kind of the same. You can take the angle or take the kind of point of view where you say, well, it's a bit boring. I didn't personally enjoy watching
it. Oh, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but Malmo were really good.
And it was a huge night for them. Absolutely huge night for them. And when you arrive at the Malmo Stadium, as you make it to the new one, you walk past the old one, where they did all that crazy European Cup stuff in the past, of course, when they reached the final against Nottingham Forest. So you do get that sense of history when you walk up to the stadium. It's one of the most atmospheric grounds in Scandinavia. And they're in a really intense title race at the moment. So for them to be able to, and I gather they manage their first team a little bit with their game at the weekend in mind, because there's only like 3-4 games left in the Allsvenskan season.
Yeah.
So for them to be able to put in that sort of effort and make it difficult for Chelsea, I thought it was quite satisfying, actually, the way that Chelsea had to really chisel it out and stuck at it.
I think they
really did need it, because Juventus won as well.
I think exactly, and that's really important, because obviously Juventus have already beaten Chelsea in this group, right? Mm. So and I don't know how important, it depends how it shakes out sometimes.
It could be a massive deal. Some years it is a massive deal.
Sometimes being first is really important. But you're right about the Chelsea side of it, because Tuchel would have been absolutely delighted to bring new players on the fringes in and them to be able to grind out a kind of result in that fashion. Because if you do that and you go away from home and you score 3 goals in the first 15 minutes, obviously it's good, but it's not a great test for Loftus-Cheek, who came in and was excellent and had to really be excellent.
Now that's really satisfying, watching him be that good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. Hodgson-Odoi obviously came
out. He sort of warmed into it as well. He warmed up into it, which gives the impression that it's like worthwhile having... You know,
I think he's a great player.
Because Mason Mount, Lukaku, Werner... and Kovacic all out for that one, and like you said, it's enforced in a way, but it also for Tuchel, this is a great opportunity.
It was also a great goal. The way they carved them open was fantastic, and really you can see the difference in the way Chelsea played, the patterns of play that you can observe, and the way they stick to their task and the way they're drilled. I've said this a few times over the last couple of weeks. You watch Chelsea the same way you watch some other teams in the Premier League, and you think, right, I know what they're trying to do here. And that's why top managers always talk about performances rather than results, right? Mm. This is what we're working on. This is how we want to play. This is how it works. You watch Chelsea because the way the games were scheduled yesterday, and then you watch Man United. It's night and day. I mean, regardless of the results, it's night and day, really.
This was also maybe another symptom of the big difference between the two clubs, was the fact that afterwards Tuchel said that he gave all the credit to his assistant, Arno Michels, and said, you know, he suggested the tactical change that led to the goal, and like named him and all that sort of stuff.
Andy won't be having that, Kate. He thinks Tuchel's the bogeyman. You're not going to get any credit.
Oh, yeah, shit, I forgot.
Yeah.
How many minutes is it till he's going to... explode?
According to my Thomas Tuchel advent calendar.
Yeah, how long have we got?
I think we have 8 months.
About 8 months left. So enough for another for a Premier League title.
All right.
I would hope the blowout would happen on the home straight. That would make the Premier League very exciting.
This is like,
it?
I'm very confused here because over there, Mummy's telling me that Tuchel's a great guy, and Daddy's telling me he's the worst thing ever. So what? Who do I believe?
Mummy and Daddy need to go off and have a chat.
Well, stepdad.
we don't debate this in front of the kids, do we, Bruss? We'll do that in the break.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Good morning, Glenn.
Can you tell us something your mum doesn't know?
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble.
I love how we will absolutely bang the drum for what is 100% a visual meme and just play the soundtrack for it on an audio podcast.
Your life's not complete if you don't know what that is.
People's got to look it up. Yeah. We'll share it on social media.
And you're painting pictures in your brain, so that's
what I'm worried about.
Okay. It's Wednesday, everybody. We're here and it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me.
We are so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Wait! Drink water and relax!
I've just realised that that's what I'm like in the pre-production meeting, isn't it? Sit down! Nobody talk! but with none of the results that Pep gets, so that's a shame. But it is time for Pep Talks. That's the greatest jingle in podcasting, first and foremost. So we're always happy to play that. Secondly, keep them coming in. We've got some interesting Pep Talks, but we want some more interesting ones. We're going to read this one from Ed today, but we want more in the coming weeks because we do it every Wednesday. Ed says, "Hi guys, I work in a pretty nondescript office environment. In fact, there's an office like mine in every town in the land. It's proper boring stuff. My colleagues are pretty dull as well, apart from one guy in accounts."
Did you give his surname out?
Yeah, that's where he's from. It doesn't matter. I didn't say where he's from. I didn't say where he's from. Could be from anywhere. Peter is a big place. I made that up.
It's where I'm from.
I know it is. That's why I said it.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Ed also says, "My colleagues are pretty dull as well, apart from one guy in accounts who always smirks at me when I see him because he opened a can of tuna with his toe once and thinks he therefore sits above me in the office hierarchy." I don't even know what that means.
What? Yeah. That's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Opening a can of tuna with your toe.
You shouldn't even do that.
I'm assuming it's a ring pull.
Smelly food in the office is a big faux pas.
Why are you doing that in an office environment?
I know, exactly. Anyway, said Ed, "My manager has introduced a stupid rule where we're supposed to shake hands with everyone when we arrive in a meeting room, even if we're colleagues who have interacted earlier in the day, and sometimes if we've walked there from the same part of the office together. Something about improving respect and morale is absolutely bizarre. However, like Diego Simeone, I absolutely hate these handshakes. Any advice on how I can get out of them, or at least provide an alternative to this mind-numbing tribute to just how dull my work life is? Cheers all, Ed.
Well, Kate and I were talking about the Diego Simeone thing before we came on air, and I still think it's underappreciated. Maybe people don't believe Diego Simeone, who don't regularly watch Atletico games. He's done that thing of running off into the tunnel the minute the whistle has gone for ages. No one gets a handshake off him. I suggest, Ed, you run straight back to your workstation to show your commitment to the cause.
But it's before the meeting, Andy, I think. Not after.
Yeah, so he
it's
can't...
very difficult,
like,
to get out of it.
So, say you're ahead of the game.
Yeah, true.
He's already solved the problem. I think, pre-meeting.
Personally, yeah. I would obviously go with the NBA angle. I'd go for a chest bump. I think that's
what, in everyone, yeah, in a meeting room.
Yeah, that sounds way worse.
People, COVID as well. You can't.
People would get tired of that way quicker, and then the rule would be retracted.
In COVID, I tried to go for curtsies. I wonder if he could.
Yeah.
I wonder if he could do that or lick his hand. Then people won't want to.
You can't be licking. You can't say COVID and then lick your hand.
I didn't lick it.
I know you didn't
mimed.
Do it, but you said it. People are listening. They're not looking at you. I also remember the curtsy phase you went through. And at the time, I thought you couldn't get more odd. And I was wrong. I was wrong about that.
I think you need to take it to the next level, to an area where the manager thinks this is a terrible idea. You know that thing in Friends where that office manager like slapped everyone on the bum,
yes,
as they left.
I'm not familiar with it.
I mean,
really.
That's so inappropriate that straight away it would get taken off the table.
The serious answer for me would be, do what I used to do when I had a proper job, which is think in your mind, if I don't do this, is there a chance I'm going to lose my job?
Yes.
And if the answer is no, just don't do it. And he's not going to get fired for refusing to handshake people.
He might get fired for slapping people on the bum.
You've suggested that. He's not saying he's going
to
do that.
That's what happened to Andre Villas-Boas, isn't it? Because he kept slapping Fernando Torres on the bum when he'd bring him on a sub, and he was clearly very uncomfortable about it.
So he had to drive to Dakar because of that.
No one sees why when Pep does it. All right, that's your lot, Ed. If you've got any more, as Luke says, keep them coming in. If you've got any more questions for us, however bizarre, we will get to them every Wednesday. It's show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble. Now then, we're on to the managerial move section of the podcast, which I think we should just keep running and talk about how great life is going to be under Antonio Conte.
It won't be for you. It won't be for the players.
Yeah, they need to work.
Can I just say that I think we're at the next stage of Antonio Conte misconceptions here.
Ah.
The first one, when he was being linked with Manchester United, and what a long time ago that seems now,
yeah, exactly.
Is that he's a defensive coach. He's not a defensive coach. He's Mourinho. He's not Mourinho. He's still relevant at the top level.
Mm.
And now we've got onto, well, it's just a brutal regime of terror, and you can either like shape up or ship out.
To be fair, he did say he'd rather kill a player than them be...
I prefer to kill him.
my favourite... It's fun when Ranieri says it. It's all about the delivery, isn't
Mate,
it?
Mate, I'm not criticising it, Kate. I was not. I'm fine.
I was just adding a counterpoint.
I still think the best Antonio Conte quote is the one that Nicky Bandini has touched on OTC before, when they won the league in his first season, unbeaten, remember, Juventus, having finished seventh the previous season. And before the final game, Gigi Buffon approached him and said the players were hoping to talk about bonuses. And every time you open your mouth, you're a disappointment to me. that's fantastic. But I think it's really important to say about Conte, it's not all stick. There is some carrot as well. You look at the development of Romelu Lukaku, it's not just the fact that he worked with Conte's dietitians, it was the fact that Conte showed him he was really wanted and showed him a bit of love. And players need that. Now, yeah, of course, someone like Julian Nagelsmann might talk about that in more of a modern management speak kind of way, and Conte might have this more brusque exterior. But
Nagelsmann looks like the regional manager, and Conte looks like the CEO.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Of a company that sells very poisonous products.
I'm sure Nagelsmann could afford those hair plugs too. I think the stick probably is that yesterday was an honourable day in Spurs history, marking 5,000 days since we last won a trophy.
5,000 days. That's a lot of days, whichever way you slice it, isn't it? That is a lot of days. Can I pick up on the Conte points that Andy's making and just say that broadly I agree. And, you know, if you take it back to 16-17 when Chelsea were excellent under Conte and they won the league, I remember them rolling into town, like banging goals in. You know, they you know, I've got the results here in front of me. You have 5-0 win over Everton, 3-0 win at Goodison Park over Everton.
Inter scored an astonishing amount of goals under him.
A couple of 3-0 wins against Leicester.
Yeah.
You know, beat Man, did the double over Man City. You know, beat Southampton 4-2 and 2-0. Always lovely to see. You know, there's lots of things here that suggest that they scored a lot of goals and played some entertaining, attractive football. Also, working in their favour, or working in his favour on that front, is the fact that he's very inclusive. He's capable, with a massive backroom team, by the way, one of the biggest you'll ever find, from what I've heard. He will include everyone in it. He's not like a Mourinho in that if you're either in or you're out, as
people.
You guys said yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, he also doesn't humiliate players who he's not interested in working with anymore.
A novel concept. But can I also just add, though, something that should temper this is, I think there's an element that some people are misunderstanding what's being said, Re Conte, because what we've witnessed from those Spurs players last weekend, and occasionally before that as well, in my opinion, is them not getting anywhere near and failing to reach even the minimum standard of what is expected of them. And it remains a fact that a manager of the profile of Antonio Conte and of the talent and of the experience will not accept that. And he has the experience and the reputation to back that up. So what I meant when I said earlier this week that Harry Kane can behave like that, like he did against Man United under Conte, but he'll be doing it on the bench, is because Conte won't accept it, whoever he is.
Absolutely.
That was the reference I was making to killing, when he said he'd rather kill, wasn't it? I'd rather kill a player than have him be disinterested.
Yeah. With that. Mm. And I think he was being metaphorical as
well. I'm not aligning myself with murderers or whatever, but I like the sentiment.
Luke, how do you think the relationship with Levy and Conte will go? I mean, this really interests me because there's been this talk that Conte's watched All or Nothing to get up to speed with what it's really like at Spurs and all this sort of stuff. For me, the major take, I don't know what it was like for you, Kate, but for me, the major take home of that was that Levy's got this hard-nosed, no-nonsense, bottom line with balance sheet sort of reputation. He was eating out of Mourinho's hand for most of that.
He's got a bit of that about him, I think.
And
I think it's a bit tragic.
Conte's very different, but he does have that undeniable, like, star quality, doesn't he?
I think he's got a massive element, and I said this before, of he's in hock and in awe of the big movers and shakers in football because he's such a big Spurs fan. You could see it written all over his face in these meetings with Mourinho. I was surprised a man of his experience, of his means, of his position, was actually allowing that stuff to go out.
It was like Morrissey bringing questions, a written list of questions, around Alan Bennett's house, wasn't it?
But, very, very niche, but yeah, I do understand what you mean.
But with Conte,
I'm one of the few people that does understand what you mean.
I don't see that as being necessarily a problem if we want him to buy into.
No, but what it speaks to, though, Kate, is it
as long as we don't bankrupt the club. Obviously.
It speaks to the idea that Levy basically, he essentially moves between, I'll get a sporting director and then I'll not give him what he wants and all I'll undermine him, or do you know what? I'm fed up with that now. I'm just going to do it myself and I can't. And there's never an in-between.
But this could be the moment.
Could be.
Yeah. It could be.
But you supported Spurs for a while, so I don't think it's the first time you said that.
Yeah, that's why I was... Well, it does feel like more of a moment, doesn't it?
It does, because...
From the outside. That's why I'm resting my head against the microphone in terror, because, really, like I was yesterday, really, you know, the excuses are done now.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. We've got a world-class... As we said yesterday, we've got a world-class stadium, we've got a world-class manager, we've got... potentially some world-class players
who need to
train and stuff and start respecting the people that they work for, please, gentlemen.
Yeah, but it's a huge win for Spurs fans who are not keen on the way Levy is running the club because it's him giving the power to Paratici.
Yes,
That's it really, isn't it? I mean, and he kind of owes him now because he's got him a coach that Spurs never would have got otherwise. So they have to leave it with those guys to run the club. Tottenham will run totally differently.
Wow. The statement said, last summer our union did not happen because the end of my relationship with Inter was still too recent and emotionally too involved with the end of the season. So I felt it wasn't the right time to return to coaching.
That's an interesting Google translation.
I
wanted to see how Fabio would get on for a couple of months.
Well, and also, I mean, I can translate it if you like. Man United stopped returning my calls. So I decided that London would be nice. I've lived there before and it was good. I'll take the second prize. I'll take the red box with the £100,000 in it instead of the £250,000, please, Noel. That's what he's saying.
This is difficult for my pride. So let us all move. Let us all move on.
Arsenal should cheer you up.
Yeah. What?
No, we're not doing Arsenal.
No, we're not. We're going to do a tiny bit on Newcastle, the Newcastle job, because I know these things are moving fast, and this is not live, as you may have come to realise, podcast fans. Mm. But Unai Emery seems to be the lead at the moment. Seems to be the leading candidate for the Newcastle job. And Balogun says he's likely to turn it down, and before, I presume he was asked about it before the game last night and said, oh, I don't know anything about it, but I would speak to the Villarreal chairman if I was approached.
Mm. So to me, it's interesting that Balogun's saying that Emery's going to say no. And I'm sure Andy will have a much better take on that than I will. But my concern for Newcastle, well, listen, the concern I'm going to bring to attention for this show specifically about the castle, because there's quite a few, and there is a runtime we have to stick to, is that it feels to me like they're behaving, the new ownership are acting in a way that suggests they don't really know much about how football works.
Well, they don't. Well, they've got no football brains upstairs. What would they
make? Allow me to make my point. I've generously started my point by saying, I'm sure you're going to have a great point to make. Let me make mine, which you've already half made.
I should respect you more by listening to your point.
Exactly. But this is so enjoyable.
It's just that exactly what Andy's alluded to there, joking aside, is the idea that surely you want to build from the top down. So you want to go, someone like Emery, I presume, is used to working under a sporting director.
Yeah.
And it needs to be a sporting director with some experience to show they mean business. If you're Emery, you're already independently wealthy.
There's a Monchi swear box, by the way.
Yeah, fine.
So don't even go there.
No, but he's operated. He's a 50-year-old manager. He's operated for a long time. He's won a lot of stuff at some big clubs. He's going to want to work in an infrastructure that actually exists rather than worry about how many zeros are going to be on his paycheck, because he's going to get paid well anyway. And if they're going to go after Emery in this fashion, or a manager of his type in this fashion, they might fall short because the structure's not there. So to me, it feels weird that they're trying to hire a manager first when they've got half the backroom staff from Steve Bruce. I think Lee Charnley's still doing the stuff for the negotiation, which also sends a weird message out. And it's not surprising, if it does come to pass, which I suspect it will, that Emery says no, and they'll end up with someone like Eddie Howe. No disrespect to Eddie, who's a brilliant manager.
They're very different profiles of coach, aren't they?
And that's very different. That was going to be my final point. It happened at Palace. If your last two choices are both completely different, you probably need to think about how you're approaching it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I guess the thing that recommends Emery is he works well with below elite level clubs.
He won the Europa League with Villarreal, who many people thought shouldn't be getting out of the group stage necessarily.
Yeah, Europa League specialist.
That's right. I mean, I think the interesting thing is that, well, A, Newcastle aren't going to be in a European context for a while yet, at least.
And not during the season, anyway.
Yeah. And two, the league campaigns, both the last league campaign at Sevilla and the back end of the one at Villarreal, were completely written off. While he like concentrated on that, his teams are very difficult to beat, but they need to actually go and win some games. They need to get enough points between now and January so them and Norwich are not totally cut away. That is the short term issue they have, and they need to think about that when they're looking forward into the medium term as well.
One man who doesn't seem to feel like Emery would be the right decision is our man from on the continent, David Cartledge. He's going to be on tomorrow, so I don't know if we'll be getting more on this subject, but he says people at Villarreal should put the lottery on this week because they're clearly in luck. €6 million compensation for a guy they'd probably be sacking in a week or so anyway. My advice to Newcastle, bring in Danjuma with Emery because he's the only thing that's kept Villarreal out of the relegation places.
That's David always sitting on the fence.
They have started poorly domestically, haven't they? I mean, they've been really poor in the league this season, Villarreal.
Yeah, they have. I would suggest that there's quite a small margin of wriggle room with Unai Emery's teams because they are quite methodical, they are quite tight, they are quite circumspect. So if you look at Villarreal last season, before they get really stuck into the Europa League and the results go out the window in domestically, they only lost once before Christmas in Europe and La Liga combined, which is incredible. But there are a lot of draws in there. Similarly, this season, there are a lot of draws in there. And I would suggest...
Newcastle need wins, right?
I think that's a huge thing. And if you look, part of the reason that Villarreal are struggling at the moment, certainly domestically, no Gerard Moreno, who's the chief animator of the attack. Now...
Is that his official title, by the way? Because that's excellent. Has he got on his business card? Chief animator of the attack?
Well, I believe
I've been calling them strikers up until now. I've been wasting my time.
That's what Alan St. Maximin definitely has on his business card. Yeah. Although I would suggest he's not quite in the same category as Gerard Moreno. I know there'll be some Toon fans who disagree with me. That's not correct. He's really not in the same category.
But just to sum up very, very briefly, if I may, look, structurally, they've got to get it right. And they have to make the appointment in the right way, because if they don't, the new owners of Newcastle United, they are going to end up in the Championship, and it's going to set them back years in what they want to achieve. You know, all of that stuff, you know, is unsavoury anyway for those different reasons. But in terms of the actual football, if they get relegated this season, it sets them back God knows how many years. So it's actually the most important thing they got to do to get right start first and foremost.
I do agree with that, but all I can think about at the moment is you Googling for your new card, chief animator of the Ramble.
I don't think you guys would give me that honour. I don't think our listeners would either, and that's fair enough.
Well, that's why business cards are free.
Yeah, true.
Supposedly Graham Jones has said has been pushing and saying like they've got to make a decision to the new ownership. So he's the impetus.
Graham Jones is in there doing it, and he's saying it's a shit show. I'm doing my best, but everything's on fire.
It's like
I'm busy next Tuesday. Yeah, you've got to sort something out.
So, I don't know if that could kick on to the wrong decision as you were leading to.
They've got to get it right. Massive, massive time for them.
Paulo Fonseca and Eddie Howe, the other two big names in there. Now, sadly, guys, we weren't able to devote, running orders being as they are, we weren't able to devote the entire show to Neil Warnock's 1,602nd and second game in charge, Luke, which I'm sure for all Ramble fans will be a real disappointment.
It's an English record, right?
It's an English record.
Yeah. And the Warnock compromise is that he gets a paragraph at the end of the running order because of your lobbying. lesson to all the politicians out there currently doing the environmental thing, you know. We can get Warnock in the running order, just a paragraph. Everyone's happy. Perhaps there's hope for them as well. But joking aside, I mean, look,
it's an incredible achievement, guys.
It's amazing. I think it's the most games managed in England by a manager ever.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and he's done that, relatively speaking. Of course, not at the very top end of football, but certainly nowhere near the bottom end. He's done very well. And he's got an amazing amount of promotions on his record as well. And he's a character. So good for him. That's what I say.
Sadly, his game was it was a loss. 3-1 to Luton.
Yeah, that's strangely fitting.
At Luton.
A disappointing 1-0 away at Luton. It was at home.
No, it was at Luton. It was 3-1. They went 1-0 up after 15 minutes.
Oh, I thought it was 1-0, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I hope he got an easy jet off to somewhere nice afterwards to celebrate.
Well, he might not
just home to Cornwall.
He might not want to, because he says, places like QPR, I like this. I love the atmosphere like that. I think Luton fans respect me. They've always given me stick here and I'll always give it back if I can. There's not enough good humour in football. Amen. Yeah.
Stick and a signed photo. That's what it's all about.
From the bum bag.
Yeah.
You should get like a commemorative bum bag. They should be, if they're not selling bum bags in the club shop, they should be.
What are you thinking, a bit of LV?
Big time. Big time. Absolutely.
I can see Alan St. Maximin with one of those. Yeah. Tonight, plenty more Champions League football for you. Liverpool go up against Atletico. Huge game, that one. And then City play Club Brugge. And a reminder as well, more delicious football content for you. We've got a brand new women's football podcast available to listen to right now. It is called Upfront, and it's available on Football Ramble Presents every Tuesday. Join Flo Lloyd Hughes, Rachel O'Sullivan and Chloe Morgan. For the first episode, they talked about what's going wrong at Man City, more magic from Beth Mead, and who Serena Weigman should pick for the England captaincy. Get involved now on Football Ramble Presents. That's it. We're out.
Thanks very much for having me, you two.
With our bum bags.
It's been great to be here.
Smiles. And our happy days with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer are here again.
I've got Unai Emery being appointed Newcastle United's new manager at 11:06 in the sweepstakes. So we'll see how we get on.
Look forward to seeing it, guys. Yeah. There'll be plenty more to come tomorrow. It's me. I'm back again, people. Get happy. Yeah. Andy, you are as well.
Yeah, you're chief animator tomorrow, though.
Thank you. Well, Pete Donaldson will also be on the show.
I think Pete's chief animator. Let's be absolutely clear about that.
Not sure.
The man rarely does not animate.
I'm not sure how true that will be. You're absolutely right, Luke. Say goodbye, chief animator.
See you later.
Say goodbye, Andy Brass. Oh, damn, you need a title too.
Tara, I'll think about it. I'll settle for the LV bum bag.
All right, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Abroad in Japan is the Stack podcast that brings you a taste of life in Japan. Recently, Chris Broad was joined by NHK contributor and legendary video game streamer Pete for a chat about his life as a TEFL teacher.
I one time taught a woman who was still pregnant, and I had to teach her stomach.
What?
Yes, and so...
Wait, what?
She came in, 7 months pregnant, and they're like, no, she wants you to just to talk to her stomach. So I was sitting there giving instruction. Very specifically. No. She held her tummy, and she said, I think he's getting it. And I thought, oh dear God.
Just bizarre. Search Abroad in Japan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Wednesday and Sunday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.